The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1 with Kia Credit. Flexible 142 finance solutions from Kia, home of the 7-year warranty.
Podcast today's show at rte.ie/John Murray.
The John Murray Show on RTE Radio 1.
And on the subject of faking it, Breda says, I was invited to a wedding which I did not want to go to, so I said I had an exam on that day. I was doing the EDCL, a computer course, but it finished the day before. I was believed and no one was any the wiser. I don't regret it. Had a great day to myself. Now, drones or unmanned aerial vehicles are becoming increasingly common in our skies. Drones fitted with cameras took some unforgettable photographs from last weekend's electric picnic. Drones went into the poisoned air above Fukushima to assess the damage to the reactors. And of course, the Americans are using armed drones against jihadis in the Middle East. Now, joining me to discuss their use and misuse are Paul Gorey, who's a lecturer in aviation technology at DIT, and Tony Kinlan, a commercial photographer who uses drones in his work. Welcome to you both. And Paul, to you first. Drones, what exactly are they, and how long have they been around?
Well, drones have been around for quite a while. Drones themselves are actually unmanned aerial vehicles, as they're called, or UAVs, they're actually known nowadays as remote aircraft. And they come in all shapes and sizes, but we've been experimenting with them since, we can go back to the 1960s, 1970s, where we've been flying aircraft remotely, and even large commercial aircraft to test out how they perform on their own without pilots. But we've come a long way since then, and now we've got drones of all shapes and sizes, from insect size all the way up to full airships.
Yeah, and tell us what they're used for currently and how they might be used in the future.
Well, probably the main use of a drone now would be for observation and measurement in most cases, but they can be used in lots of different areas. You've often heard of the military examples, I'm sure, of using them for bombing missions and things like that. But even on a military basis, there's small drones which are about the size of your palm of your hand, called a Black Hornet, which are carried by the British forces, and they literally put them up to fly them around to do reconnaissance on small areas when they're going into some hostile territories. But as you said before, in, say, for instance, looking at volcanic areas and in Fukushima and areas like that, they can be used to observe where we can't send people in. But we've even seen them. I've seen loads of different types of commercial uses, anything from crop dusting to even at the moment down in Kenya and in Tanzania, they've been used to try and track poachers in national parks. And recently now, they've even produced some ones in, I believe, in Ottawa in Canada that are used as scarecrows to actually scare away geese from crops.
Remarkable. And what about the licensing of drones, and who can use them and who can't?
Yeah, well, actually, a lot of people think that a drone is officially a model aircraft, but it's not really when you get into it. The Irish Aviation Authority have been very, very forthcoming with actually getting involved in regulating drones, and they're one of only 6 European Union countries who actually have regulations on it. And because of that, you have to have special permission to fly a drone. And to get that special permission, you must prove to the Irish Aviation Authority that you have, first of all, the capability to fly the drone properly, and that you know the rules as to where you can fly it and how you can fly it. And also, you must as well, believe it or not, have specific third-party insurance to fly a drone in Ireland for commercial purposes.
And what about flying them in Dublin?
Yeah, well, there are specific rules, and you must get a permit from the Irish Aviation Authority to fly them in Dublin. And within those rules, then, there are issues like, I could give you an example of one particular type of permit which you can get, which insists that you must have third-party insurance. You can only go to a maximum altitude of 120 metres, and you can't let it fly outside a 500-metre range. But again, all these can be varied depending on how skillful the operator is, and you must prove that to the Irish Aviation Authority before they will allow you to extend your permit in any way.
And Paul, how much would that third-party insurance cost?
I'm afraid I wouldn't have any idea, but I would imagine it would depend on the events you're dealing with and whatever. Maybe Tony might know a bit more about that than I would.
Tony, bring you in here. What difference do drones make to your own work, and a little bit about insurance as well?
Yeah, the insurance is about 600 or 800 euro at the moment. So it's, you know, the same price as kind of a car, I suppose.
Or a house insurance, something in the region of that.
At the moment, drones for photography purposes are, you know, they're just creating massive advancements in the way that you capture images and the way that you can, you know, show the world around us. But as Paul said, it's important to be, you know, really aware of the, you know, the different kind of the concerns around them as well. Mm. But, you know, from my own point of view, or like from a photographer's point of view, you can capture like aerial images like they had in Electric Picnic that show, you know, things that you would never have got before. You'd have to have hired a helicopter or a low-flying airplane, and you would have to, you know, that's obviously a lot more expensive than a small piece of kit like the drone.
Yeah, you've actually brought a small piece of kit, as you describe it, with you. Just do describe it, please.
Yeah, so like in front of us here, there's a Phantom drone. So it's about a foot by a foot square, and it's about a foot high. And there's four propellers on the top of it. So like helicopter propellers. And this is kind of the basic model, that drone that you can buy. Anyone can readily go out and just purchase the drone, and you could fly
it. Where would you buy it?
Well, you can buy it online. There's some stores in Ireland where you can purchase it. But the thing to be really aware of is that it is, as Paul was saying, it is, you do need permission from the Irish Aviation Authority. And it's kind of like a driving test. There's a theory part, and then there's a practical part. So there's and it is quite intensive.
Mm. And what about learning how to use it now?
I'm kind of like undergoing intensive training with it, and my colleague Rob O'Connor at aerial.ie, we're honing in our skills, and we're getting ready for our practical examination with them. So we've done our theory part, and we're kind of ready to go for full blown. Yeah.
So it's quite intensive then.
It is, yeah. Like a drone, it's not, you know, it's tricky enough. Like, you know, yeah. You can imagine, like you can fly it out of the box fairly easily, but to really get skillful with it, to get, you know, the shots that you really want, and to show things that, you know, that that will look amazing on camera, you need to have the skills. But like, there have been news at the moment for like I saw someone in the UK who was telling me that after the storms in England last year, they flew a drone along the power lines to see where the fault was, where before they'd have to have taken a crew and gone out with a crew to identify the location or get a helicopter. They fly the drone along, they find where the issue is, and then they go and fix it. And it's been used for like mountain rescue and, you know, search and rescue in other countries at the moment. Not yet in Ireland, but I'm sure.
So there's lots of beneficial uses. And how does the camera work then?
So the camera, the drone we have here, a little camera can attach to it, like a GoPro camera. It's about the size of a big matchbox. But you can also get a bigger drone, so one that would be like a meter square or meter circle.
Mm-hmm.
And you can attach a full-size digital camera to that, and you can control it from the ground, and you can even get like high-definition live feeds from the drone when you're on the ground.
And how do you take the photographs, though? Do you do that remotely?
You can do that remotely as well.
That's extraordinary technology when you think about it.
It is incredible, yeah.
Yeah, and you've used it, have you?
Yeah, I've used the drone. So you can't fly it commercially without a permit.
Hmm.
So you can't take pictures with it without a permit. But I've flown it, I've done my theory test, and at the moment I'm kind of honing my skills and getting ready for my examination with the IAA. Like, there's only kind of two people there at the moment who are examiners, so there's quite a backlog, as you can imagine, but there's not that many people have the licenses.
Yeah, and what about safety and people and that? What's the situation
there? I suppose the thing to be aware of is that you can't fly a drone, you know, without commercially without the right permissions. So if you see someone flying, if you see a drone in the sky, have a look around you, and there should be someone on the ground who's flying it, and there should be someone with them to liaise with the public. So if you have any concerns, just go up and have a chat with them, and, you know, they'll be more than happy to talk to you and you know, alleviate any concerns and show you their drone. And if they have permission, they'll be more than happy to show it to you as well.
And what did the drone set you back, by the way?
This drone here was €420.
€420.
Which, for what it does, but then the camera gear goes on top of that. So.
Yeah, and how much would that be for?
For this one, the full setup is about €1,000. But for the kind of professional ones, when you get the license, it's 15,000. So
very, very interesting. And Paul, when it comes to their military use, what about what's the debate about?
Well, the main debate about, most of the problems with the aviation industry and aviation technologies, along with computing, is that our initial run on these technologies comes from what they call the military-industrial complex. And they develop the first technologies. And as they move on, then we kind of take them into the civil field. But at the moment, in terms of the military, I mean, the main issue in the military is that drones tend to give... the users, how can I put it, like drones are being used in Afghanistan at the moment, and while they're being used, the actual pilots of these drones are elsewhere in the world flying them, and therefore they have little or no sense as to what they're doing apart from by camera as such. And this leads to situations where there's this situation where people believe that the pilots of drones don't have the same feel as a pilot on site during a military operation.
So they're disconnected, in other words, from what's happening.
Yeah, they're quite disconnected, and in some cases they actually say that the best pilots for these drones are people who've spent quite an amount of time on video games as such.
Mm. And what does the future hold then, do you think? What way are we going to head now, Paul?
Well, I think like everything else, the military have developed the technology, and it's creeping. It was creeping, but now it's beginning to flow fairly fast into the civilian field. And the European Union researchers from the European Commission have actually reckoned that by 2017, there'll probably be about 70,000 jobs in Europe in drone technology, which will run to a turnover of about 14 billion. So here in Ireland, because we're quite advanced in legislating for it, and as people like Tony out there are quite advanced in doing it, there's an opportunity here for us to get more involved in this area.
Mm. I'm just reading a story in the journal about a Galway startup. Disaster Tech Lab is teaming up with a company run by former military aviators to use drones in disaster zones to help save lives. We're going to see a lot more of that sort of use.
I think we're going to see quite an amount of that, and particularly in the area of search and rescue, because while, say, for instance, when you have a situation at sea, when a problem occurs, it could be far quicker to get a drone out there than to get a lifeboat out. And if it could go out in advance of a lifeboat or in advance of a rescue party on a mountain, it could actually do all the pre-scouting for them, find the people that they're looking for, and give them a more accurate view or a more accurate position as to where they can go.
All right. Well, Paul, thank you for joining us. That's Paul Gorey, who is a lecturer in aviation technology at DIT. And thank you also to Tony, photographer Tony Kinlan.
Thanks for having
And good luck with the lessons. And I suppose there is an issue also of invasion of privacy when it comes to aerial photography. We didn't have time to touch on it.
There is indeed, yeah. But I think, you know, it comes down to professionalism. Privacy comes down to professionalism, and professional photographers isn't going to invade your privacy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, listen, Tony, thank you for joining us.